Children need to know that we're praying for them. Hallelujah. They need to know that more than ever. They need to know that we've got them, that we're praying, that we're not ever going to forget our children or our grandchildren. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord. I want to talk again about praise this morning. I had something else I was going to go with, and I don't know why. But the Lord always brings me back to this, and it's important for us to praise the Lord. It is important. The power of praise is to get God into your environment. The power of praise is the presence of God at work in your life. Praise is seeking God. Worship is being found by him. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. Abraham, Moses, and David were such close friends with God. They made room for him in their life. They were hungry. They were hungry to know and to obey him. This is why all worshipers should be. This is what he wants us to be like. They had a devotion and a praise for him. Praise and worship are related, but different activities and experiences. Praise is initiated by us. Worship, oh, thank you, Jesus, is God's response. Praise is something we do. Worship is something God releases. Have you ever thought all that? Oh, I thought, oh, God. Sometimes you just come in here and you just think, oh, I'll just lift up my hands and I'll give a few praises. But that's just really not how that it works. And we want God to move in our life. Praise is our building a house for God. Worship is God moving in. Have you ever thought about that? God moving in. Worship cannot be generated by us. It is completely dependent upon God. We may seek to enter worship through praise, but it is up to God whether he will respond and initiate it. Hallelujah. In truth, we cannot worship God unless we have first praised him. And this praise must be genuine. Otherwise, Jesus against the Pharisees, if you remember this story about them, they may also be leveled against him. These people honor me. This is what he said. These people honor me, hallelujah, with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain, seeking the blessing of God instead of the face of God. Never works. Never, never, ever works. We don't want to miss out on the most important thing. That is to seek the kingdom first. Then I will give you lands and houses and food and clothing and jobs. The things that you are in need of. Our wants and our needs are always, they're wanting attention. Always. It never goes away. God knows we come to him with many problems, burdens, and questions. He understands our needs, but he still wants us to seek his face before we seek his hand. Oh, I thank you, Lord. You might be wanting a prayer line, and there's nothing wrong with a prayer line, but he knows what we really have need of, and it is to spend more time with him. When he gets into your life, he will fix in one moment things that you have been working on for weeks, months, and even years. Some of us hadn't got our answers yet. Hallelujah. Seeking God is like praising him. Your focus must be on him. Hallelujah. And he must be your delight. God promises. His presence brings joy. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Psalm 16:11. God's presence is a source of joy. God's presence gives rest. God's presence brings peace. God's presence attracts the right people. Once we are at peace with what's happening in our lives, we can trust God to bring in the right people and the right opportunities our way. In fact, we will find that miracles are more abundant when we stop trying to do everything in our own strength. People are attracted to us because they are attracted to God. Moses, evidently, he knew all that. If he was to read, I'm not going to read all them scriptures in Exodus. God's presence brings blessings. God's presence brings power. Let's just brag about God this morning. And let's just praise His holy name. And let's just tell everybody. Let's praise God and worship His holy name. And let everybody know how we feel and what we're like. And let them see Jesus in you this morning. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, I give you praise today. And I thank you, God, for what you're doing, Lord God. I thank you, God, for how you're moving, Lord God. I thank you, God, for your presence this morning, Lord. Oh, mighty God, we know, Lord, that you are able. We know that you're able to move upon all these needs that we've asked this morning. I pray in your name, God, that you touch your people. Lord, that you would be with them this morning, Father God. That, God, whatever the need may be, that you would be there. We thank you, God, that you give us the strength and the wisdom, Father God, to go on. Even when our bodies tell us different, we're going to stand on your word, and we're going to believe what your word has to say to each and every one of us, and we will walk in truth today. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Would you stand and continue worshiping with us as well?
I'm running for your heart, I'm running for your heart, till I am a soul on fire, Lord. I'm longing for your ways, I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul on fire, till I am a soul on fire. I'm running for your heart, I'm running for your heart, till I am a soul on fire, Lord. I'm longing for your ways, I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul on fire, till I am a soul on fire. Lord, restore the joy I had. I have wandered, bring me back. In this darkness, lead me through, until all I see is you. God, I'm running for your heart, I'm running for your heart, till I am a soul on fire. Lord, I'm longing for your ways, I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul on fire, till I am a soul on fire. Lord, let me burn for you again.
Yes, set us ablaze.
Let me return to you again.
Let the Holy Ghost have
it. Lord, let me burn for you again.
Be obedient.
Let me return to you again. God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul on fire, Lord. I'm longing for your ways, I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul on fire. God, I'm running for your heart, I'm running for your heart, till I am a soul on fire, till I am a soul on fire, till I am a soul on fire.
Yes, come on, give him a praise. Come on, give him a praise. He's worthy. He's worthy today. No matter where you are at, what's going on in your life, he's still in control. He's still got it. Amen. Amen. You ask why. You ask how. You ask when. Those are the right questions to ask. But I say unto you this day, I will give you the strength. I will plant the seed of wisdom in your spirit. You will become the woman of God that you need to be. The woman of God in your home. The woman of God in this church, in this body. But I say unto you, have patience, my daughter. And that's the hardest thing to do. Have patience, my daughter, for I will bring it to pass. I will do the work when it's my time and how I see fit. Receive it in the name of Jesus through the power and the glory of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Sorry for squeezing your hand. Just two simple verses. 31 and 32. And I'll just have you remain standing for the reading of His Word, giving Him honor. He's the author. He's the giver. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. The New King James Version. And I got you beat. I got another one of them letters.
Did you?
Yeah. I almost saved it to give it to you just the way that made you happy the other week. I don't know if you're listening, but have enough gumption and backbone. Put your return address on it and your name, sign them, so we can return. It's a deal with the King James Version. Try reading the 1611, which is the original version. If you don't have one, I got one. Come see me. But John chapter 8, verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in me, or if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Of course, naturally. Duh. Verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen. The truth makes all the difference. And it's the truth according to God, His Word. He is the author and He's our finisher of my faith, your faith, our faith. Father, we just thank you. We praise you and we glorify you and magnify you. We thank you for your word this morning. Touch this messenger, anoint these lips of clay, bring back to my remembrance every word that needs to be spoken. And I thank you, Lord, that we can come and be together in the preaching of your word. We ask your Holy Spirit just to flow freely into our hearts, into our minds. Let us receive your word. But then, Holy Spirit, take this word and bring the fruit out of it in each one of our lives. And we glorify you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said,
Amen.
Amen. shake a couple of hands around you as you're seated. I know the worship team will scatter in a heartbeat. Good job, handrail. Look at Brianne. She's brave. Young. Hallelujah. I told someone yesterday that I'm just totally amazed every time that we come together and the songs flow. Together. Sister Karen's exhortation is a blessing and compliments. When we understand that it's all because God knows what He's doing. Not because of me. Nope. Thank you, Brother Joe. But it's because of God. This morning I just want to spend a few moments on trying to uplift you and what's going on in your life. I know a lot of things that are going on, but I know the one who created you, and I know He's more than able, but He's also made the provisions for you. No one else is quite like you. So when the devil comes and tries to say, you're worthless, you're useless, you don't amount to anything. You don't count for nothing. You ain't going to make it. I'm going to take you out. You remind him, well, I read the last chapter. And we win. And you lose. Because you're a loser. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning on the anointing in His Word. It's important to understand that these two must go together. The thing that caused sin to enter into the world was a disregard for the words of God. Adam and Eve disobeyed what God spoke to them, what God told them. I'm so thankful that we got His written word. And when we have an issue, we got a problem, we turn to the Word for the solution, for the answer. Because God moved upon man, inspired him to write these words for us. You cannot have any successful ministry unless you have an anointing word from God. So when Sister Karen does a great job, you need to tell her. Because that's encouraging. You don't know how discouraging it can get when you stand up here and you present what you think God has given you. Usually there's no response. You look at your faces and you turn around, walk back out the same way. So if someone ministers in a Bible study, a WOW meeting, a men's meeting, a testimony that someone gives, encourage them back and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You don't have the right to go in, but someday you will. Amen. Think about it. You can sing. You can shout. You can do the two-step, whatever you want to do. It doesn't matter. You notice I had to hang on to the pulpit to do the two-step. Don't want me to fall down. Then I'll have to roll around on the floor. pretend I was slain in the spirit. I'm sorry, God. Forgive me. Yes, you can sing, you can shout, you can dance all you want, but you can't give people their answers without the Word of God. It's got to be the Word. Don't need your opinion. Karen, close your ears. Opinions are like armpits. Everybody's got two of them and they both stink. Think about it. You take a survey in a room of 10 people, you're going to have 15 answers. Yeah, probably 20. But when we think about the Word of God, we must listen to it, we must obey it, we must internalize it, get it down in our spirits. People are bound by spiritual strongholds, and they need to hear anointed ministry. Even if you're talking with someone, you're ministering, whether you like it or not. That's one of the places that we have to be weary in the church, because we have attorneys that make money off of churches. Because if you try to speak to someone just sitting in a chair or coming in early, and you try and give your opinion, you do this and that, an attorney can turn it into a counseling session. How pathetic is that? But I don't want us to get scared of giving out the Word of God, because if we use the Word, the Word is what we use when we fight the battles. Amen? Point number one of my text today. It's not in intellectual words, but it's in demonstration. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 4. I love this verse of Scripture. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. We have not arrived, any one of us, including myself, because I got a lot to learn still. But Paul stuck to this in his ministry journeys. Not wisdom of man, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Spirit and power is so important in that verse of Scripture. It's demonstration. It's we have to do, we must act upon what God speaks to us, what He shares with us. But Sister Tracy didn't know what I was going to preach on. And she said, we praise God. That gets us in to where God grants us the privilege of feeling His power, His presence, His Spirit. We carry His Spirit around with us, but we must have to keep active. 1 Corinthians 2, 4, and my speech and my preaching. Don't worry about that. It's a trick of the enemy. Someone will have to get up and go to the bathroom. Go out and get a drink, come back in. Phone goes off. Distraction. In the name of Jesus. Think about it. It's not intellectual words. It's anointed words. It's God's Word. All that we do must be anointed by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Where are you at, Aaron?
Asleep.
Man. All that we do, we must do in the name of the Lord, in His Word and in His strength, in His power. John 16, 7 through 10. John 16, 7 through 10. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will convict the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment, of sin, because they do not believe in Me. Verse 10, of righteousness, because I go to My Father, and you see Me no more. Today, it's not in our words of wisdom. It's in the power and the demonstration of the Spirit working in us, guiding us. Think about what we're talking about. If you think you can be a solid Christian simply by coming to church and singing, paying your tithes, your dues, and clapping your hands, you won't do what you need to do. Because you must have the work of the cross of Jesus Christ in your life, and then you must have the work of the Holy Ghost in your life. Because that cross paid the price. For when He said, "It is finished," and when He gave the promise in John chapter 16, verse 7 through 10, about the coming of the Holy Ghost, we have an empty tomb as proof He's no longer there. For you see Him no more. But thanks be to God. Because of that, we have the power and strength of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The power and glory forever and ever. The illustration of the Holy Spirit in Genesis 1, 1 through 3. Genesis 1, 1 through 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Verse 3, then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Understand this. The Holy Spirit was hovering. He was already in existence. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the Trinity of a loving God, of a God who forgives us because of Jesus Christ. But it's still the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost is not stagnant and stale. He's moving. The Holy Ghost is not stagnant and stale. Is He moving in your life? If He is not, you need to be up at the altar today, getting yourself right so the Holy Ghost moves in you and through you. Because you're more as responsible for the souls of the ones that you can minister to, just like I am. This is a calling, being behind this pulpit. But we're all called to ministry. Amen? Thank God. When you have the Holy Ghost inside of you and you're anointed by Him, that means He's moving. He will work. He'll do what's necessary. He'll guide you. He'll direct you. He'll slap you around if you need slapped to get you back in line. I don't like God's woodshed. Do you? I'm going to have an altar call for liars. Because we've all been there. We got the t-shirt, hat, and the whole nine yards. The woodshed is not fun. Amen? But I thank God that we live through the woodshed. Because we learn lessons. But it's the Holy Ghost moving in us. It's the power of God, active and alive. Look at what happened when His Spirit moved in creation. All God had to do was speak, "Let there be light." And there was light. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. When we worship God, we provoke Him to speak. That might not be the best word to use, but it's the only one I could come up with. Let me reread that. When we worship God, we provoke Him to speak. If God's got to grant you permission to worship, that worship will begin to flow out of you, we've got to have His power and presence in our life. When we worship God in spirit and in truth the way we need to, we provoke Him. Sometimes provoking is just simply asking Him to move and minister. In the Old Testament, the prophet wouldn't speak until the minstrel would play. Even back in Bible days, they had instruments of worship and praise. Think about the Israelites in the wilderness wandering around. Manna came after the dew because of the Holy Ghost moving upon it. Manna was what sustained them, what kept them alive. What's the anointing in modern times? The anointing for today is the Holy Spirit refers to the presence and the power that God empowers believers for divine purposes. Not so we get goosebumps or God bumps or the hair stands up on the back of our neck, which is a result. I love when we get done with a powerful service. Your strength is gone. But yet, while you're under the anointing of God, as you are standing on the Word of God, you truly were invincible. In the theological sense, it's God's act of setting individuals apart and equipping them for specific callings, giving them a unique authority and purpose. The term is rooted in the Old Testament practices of anointing people like kings and prophets with oil to symbolize their consecration to God. For Christians today, the anointing is the Holy Spirit Himself, which dwells within believers and provides power for healing, deliverance, and spiritual guidance. Anyone that is filled with the Holy Ghost has the power to lay hands on people. It says, call for the elders of the church to lay hands on and pray to receive your healing. It doesn't say, call Pastor Tracy, get him to the hospital quickly before time runs out. You can lay hands on them. You can pray. You can believe and ask God. If your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're a candidate for the Holy Ghost to work through. Amen. The Holy Ghost will never stop moving. Never stop moving. I'm glad the key aspects of the anointing is this: divine selection and empowerment. Divine means it's unordinary or out of the ordinary. It's not the natural, but I like the supernatural stuff. Because when it comes from God, you know it's going to be a good one. But He uses you, uses me. Being anointed means chosen by God and empowered by the Holy Spirit for a specific task or purpose. Think about that. You are special in the sight of God. Uniquely made, just as you are. Doesn't matter what kind of habits you have. We listened to Perry Stone and heard him say how he was made different. I thought, man, I'm a lot like him. But when you think about it, you're unique. You're special in the sight of God. Only you are you. Remember that when the devil comes and lies to you. I think about the set apart and the sanctification, the separation for the empowerment process. It's the anointing that makes a person holy. It's the anointing that separates for God's use and God's use only, which can lead to a sense of being different from others. I don't care if they call me a holy roller, a Bible thumper, a chandelier runner. We don't have pews any longer, but a chair runner. Hey, you laugh. I've seen it. The pews at the Church of God were horrible. None of them were still attached to the floor. But you could run across the top of them. And some of them did. Sister Karen, do you remember the gentleman at Thomas Hall on Akron University at the camp meeting? Running the aisles. Running like never before. I mean, he was fast. Except one time when he got down to the front, he decided he was going to do a flip. No, it wasn't no whoops. He did it. Landed right there at the altar in the spot that he needed to. God can do what He wants to do. When He wants to do it. Think about that. There's purpose and impact of the anointing. And an individual with the anointing can have a profound impact on others as their words and actions are believed to carry a divine revelation and power that a non-anointed person may not. Think about the life of Charlie Cook. Kirk. Even in his death, even while he's dead and gone, his impact is still lasting. Great men of God have gone on before us. I like to look at their anointing. Amen. Anointing separates us. Anointing makes a difference in what we say and how we say it. In Psalms 22, verse 3, God inhabits the praises of His people. That means God is drawing, or God is drawing to or attracted to our praise. God inhabits the praises of His people. Would you stand with me? In the New Testament, the Holy Ghost is referred to oil, fire. He is going to fill us with the Holy Ghost and fire in the book of John. The anointing of the Holy Ghost connects us to Jesus Christ. We do not get saved except the Spirit who draws. Would you bow your heads? On that finishing sentence, I'm going to start the altar call with an invitation. We already know the Spirit of God is here. God inhabits the praises of His people. But I want to give an opportunity. You might need to commit your life over to God, back to God, so that the Holy Ghost can use you. So the first part of our altar call is for you. To commit your life to God.